morning. Go and be turning your Bibles to Revelation chapter 12. But before I do that, I'd like all the fathers to please go ahead and stand on up. Happy Father's Day. All right, you remain standing. I'm not done. I believe that it really doesn't take much. It's very easy for anyone to bring a child into this world. But it takes a lot of guts. It takes courage. It takes faith to be a godly father. There's a huge difference. The Bible says, better in one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The sun bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. And as we celebrate Father's Day today, I want to encourage you brothers, my brothers, to continue to be godly men. To continue to be fathers the way God says for us to be fathers. I know that if we look in our history and in our own lives, like Peter said this morning, we didn't have perfect fathers. And as you're standing this morning, you are not a perfect father. But we have a perfect Heavenly Father who's given us a bunch of instructions in terms of how to lead our families and how to lead our kids. And I commend you for that. And I want you to take that charge very seriously, because you and I know that one day we're going to stand before God and we're going to have to give an account to the Creator for what we did with our lives on this earth. And part of that obviously was what kind of fathers were we on this earth, and how did we put all that talent and wisdom that he gave us in terms of putting into our kids and into our families and leading them one day to heaven. Amen, amen. And so I commend you, and again I want to say happy Father's Day. Bow with me now as we all pray together. Holy God in heaven, I thank you, Lord, for all these men that are standing here this morning. I thank you, Father, for their lives. I thank you, Father, for giving them the courage to be able to follow you. Father, I ask you, God, that you continue to fill them up with your spirit, that you will continue to give them wisdom so that they can be the awesome fathers that you have created them to be. I pray, Father, that all of us will create godly offspring, that, Father, we will be awesome fathers to our children, will be awesome husbands to our wives. And Father, you will help us to be everything that you've called us to be. Father, bless them spiritually, bless them financially, bless them in every way. Give them all the desires of their hearts. I pray that they will use everything to glorify your name. We ask and we pray all this in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus. And the church said, amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Please be seated. We're going to be having a slideshow at the end of the service. And sorry, we're not going to get out early today. Because, you know, that we do for our moms. Okay? For some reason, the restaurants are not full today. So, I guess maybe because we're the outdoors type and, you know, we go back home and we're grilling and stuff. And so, but I'm gonna take all my time and preach the entire message. Okay? For the last several weeks, I've been talking about our enemy, the devil. How Satan, one of Satan's number one goal is to make sure that you and I do not obey the scriptures. That we do not obey God. And on Thursday night, I started talking about how obedience is really the doorway to God blessing us. Are you with me? That over and over again, the theme throughout the entire Bible, even from the Old Testament, is God telling his children, obey me, listen to my decrees, follow my laws. It is in doing that that we prosper. It is in doing that that God starts to bless us. Are you listening to me? And so, whether we like it or not, our disobedience When you and I are not following God individually, let me tell you something. You are just withholding blessings from God for yourself. That's all this is. It's in the scriptures over and over again. And I started talking about this on Thursday night, and I kind of want to pick up where I left off. Amen? Let's go back to Revelation 12. Revelation 12. If you cannot find Revelation in the Bible, you got some serious problems. It's the last book in the Bible. Revelation chapter 12. And we'll pick up from verse 13. We read from verse 7 a few weeks ago, but I want to pick up from right after it talks about how Satan is filled with fury because he knows that his time is short. Revelation 12, beginning verse 13. When the dragon, that is the devil, that's already been defined for us earlier. When the devil saw that he had been hurled to the earth, he pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child. The woman was given the two wings of a great eagle so that she might fly to the place prepared for her in the desert, where she would be taken care of for a time, times and half a time, out of the serpent's reach. Then from its mouth, the serpent spewed water like a river to overtake the woman and sweep her away with the torrent. But the earth helped the woman by opening its mouth and swallowing the river that the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. Then the dragon was enraged at the woman and went off to make war against the rest of her offspring, those who obey God's commandments and hold to the testimony of Jesus. Okay? Now, Revelation is the last book in the Bible. It is also the hardest to understand, and a lot of times the interpretations and stuff given this book is totally way off. All right? It's a very symbolic book. But it's not difficult to make out some of the stuff he's talking about. Remember when Jesus was born, what happened? Herod gave a decree that all the little boys should be slaughtered. Okay? Remember, that had been predicted in the Old Testament. Rachel weeping for her children. Satan went after Jesus when he was born. That's what this is talking about. God allowed Mary and Joseph in a vision to take him up, and they took him out to Egypt. And then later on, God again appeared to Joseph and said, those that are trying to kill the boy are now dead. You can now go back home. Are you with me? But the devil went after Jesus right after he was born. Because again, remember what we talked about in 1 John 3. Jesus came to destroy the devil's work. And he felt, you know what, if I can get him right from birth, then he's not going to grow up and do all this redemption. And so he went after Jesus. But obviously, again, you can never outdo the Lord. God knows what you're going to do before you try. God took him out and brought him back, and he was safe. But here's the part I want us to look at. At the end of verse 17, it says, then the dragon was enraged at the woman and went off to make war against the rest of her offspring, those who obey God's commandments and hold to the testimony of Jesus. Who is that talking about? That's us. He tried to take Jesus out. He couldn't do it. He tried to dissuade him from going to the cross. He couldn't do it. It says right here that he's now making war against us. Those of us who are holding on to the testimony of Jesus and obeying God's commandments. Amen? That's us. You know, if you think about it, the devil is very smart. The more I think about it, the more it amazes me. Now, he's not smarter than God, don't get me wrong, but he's very, very smart. Satan knows that when you and I obey God, God pours out his blessings upon us. Okay? You know what? I gotta stop them from obeying God. That way, they don't get any blessings. That way, their lives on this earth is miserable. And then when they die, I'm going to spend eternity with these guys. In hell. In Gehenna. The lake of burning sulfur in Revelation 21. If you think about it, his strategy is very simple. So he gets us to disobey God. That way God doesn't open up the floodgates of heaven and blesses our lives. and then you die, and then you go to hell. How messed up is that? Are you with me? That's his strategy. That's his plan. And you think, oh yeah, I'm cool. I'm having a good life. No, you're not. If you are not obeying God, you are not. That Satan has you exactly where he wants you to be. And it's time for you to say, you know what? The Bible says God's commands are not burdensome. These laws and decrees were given for our own good. It's time to obey God. Amen? You know, many years ago, my good friend Mike Tolliver wrote a book called The Lion Never Sleeps. I see a lot of you going, yeah. How many of you have that book? Okay? I want to encourage you to go back and read it. Okay? I want to encourage you to go back and read it. If you don't have a copy of it, you Google it. You can get it on Amazon for about $10. The Lion Never Sleeps. Are you with me? Fantastic book. Talking about the devil and the way Satan operates. We cannot forget this. Amen? We've got to remember that we have an enemy because he's relentless. He never takes a break. Why is obedience so crucial? Look in Exodus chapter 19. Exodus 19. Why is obedience to God so crucial? Exodus 19, beginning in verse 1. In the third month after the Israelites left Egypt, on the very day they came to the desert of Sinai, after they went out from Rephidim, they entered the desert of Sinai, and Israel camped near the desert in front of the mountain. Verse 3, Exodus 19. Then Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain and said, "This is what you are to say to the house of Jacob, and what you are to tell the people of Israel. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt, and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself." Verse 5. "Now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all the nations, you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." Oh, I love this passage. Again, that's talking about us. That's talking about God's children who are obeying him. Right from the start again, God is saying, if you fully obey me and keep my covenant, he says, out of all the nations, out of all the peoples of the earth, you will be my treasured possessions. Not just possessions, treasured possessions. You know, when you have something that's very treasured, you value it. You take care of it. Chances are it's not even sitting in your house. It's probably in a safe deposit box somewhere. You say, "Richard, what is that?" Well, hopefully God will give you some treasure stuff that you can go put in a safe deposit box. But when you treasure something, you take special care of it. And he says, when you and I are obeying God, he's going to take special care of us. Are you with me? And that's why I believe, you know, passages like Matthew 6 and the scriptures where he says, don't worry about your life, what you're going to eat and what you're going to drink and all these different things. But put me first and I will take care of all these things. Why? Because we're God's treasured possessions. Because we're obeying God. Every single day we're trying to live our lives according to the scriptures and the scriptures only. It takes guts to do that. It takes courage. Any person can lie. Any person can cheat. Any person can get angry. Any person can raise their voice. But it takes godliness to say, you know what? The Bible says, here's the way I need to act in this situation, and this is what I'm going to do. It takes a lot of courage to deny yourself and to take up your cross daily and to follow God. But you see, it's in our obedience that we become God's treasured possessions and become a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Peter just referred to it in the sermon, 1 Peter 2. "For you are royal priesthood, a holy nation." You see, it's obedience that makes us that way. Amen? You know, I saw a commercial the other day where, again, a lot of times, you know, as even as God's children, things happen in our lives and we see certain scriptures. And a lot of times we're wondering why. Why do I have to do it this way? Why do I have to obey this? Why do I have to follow this? It should be good enough that, you know, our Father just says, do it. Say, well, I don't understand it. Just do it nonetheless. Sometimes in the doing, you will understand what he's talking about. But we can't be standing there asking why. The other day, like I was saying, I saw this commercial. There's this little kid. You know, you've had kids like that. When they get to a certain age and they're asking why about everything. It's almost as if they discovered a new word. And they showed this kid, this little boy, following this guy around, asking different questions. Why? The man would say something. Why? Go on. Why? And finally, the man said, why don't you go ask your dad? You know, they showed the father on the other side, and it's the guy is the neighbor that this kid has been bugging. And I thought, wow. I thought that was his dad from the beginning of the commercial. Okay? He says, you know what? Why don't you go ask your dad? But you see, we can't be like little kids that keep asking God why. Sometimes God will give us answers. Sometimes he will not. You and I just simply need to do what he says, because he's been to the future. He's seen tomorrow. He's seen 6 months from now. And he knows what he's talking about. That all these laws were given to us for our own good. You know, today is Father's Day. As fathers, with our wives, you know, we expect our kids to obey us. We tell them certain things. And when they're questioning you, you're like, excuse me? Could you come one more time? Why? Because they don't understand that you are operating from a different vantage point. There are things that you and I have learned as parents, and we're telling them not to make the same mistakes. Now they think they know better than us. Okay? But I promise you, one day when they become fathers, they're going to realize that you are a genius. I mean, growing up, there are a lot of things I didn't understand. I was like, why are they asking me to do this? Why do I have to do this way? And I thought I was smarter. But now that I'm a parent, I say, oh, now I get it. Man, were they smart. And some of the things, I'm glad I listened. And I didn't mess up my life. Because my parents wanted what was best for me. Are you with me? God's is the same way. These laws were given to us not to steal our fun, not to mess up our lives. If anything, it was is to save our lives. Amen, church? It's all about the way we look at it. Now, our kids may not understand what's going on, but one of these days they will. One of these days the light will go off. And go, you know what? My father knows what he's talking about. Amen? Satan disobeyed and lost his place. He wants us to forfeit our own place too. That's all this is. He obviously disobeyed God. He actually, you know, there was a coup that he tried to make. And God they tossed him out. He says, well, I lost my place. I'm going to make sure that God's offspring don't make it to heaven either. That's all this is. And it gets us to do it through disobedience. But you see, when we disobey God, there is no way for blessings to come into our lives. Amen? Look at Jesus. Look in Luke 12. Let's look at his example. In Luke chapter 12, again, you know the story, but I just want to mention it. Because Jesus was an obedient child, the Bible tells us. Did I say Luke 12? Luke 2, I'm sorry. By Luke 12, he's a grown man. In Luke 2, you know, when he was 12 years old, they went back to the temple as usual during the feast of the Passover, and then he stayed behind. And then they're looking for him. As they're heading back home, they realize he's not there. They go back to Jerusalem. They find him in the temple asking questions of the religious leaders. In verse 49, he says, why are you searching for me? He asked. This is Jesus speaking. Didn't you know that I had to be in my Father's house? But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor of God and men. Parents, fathers, pray that for your kids every day. I do that for mine. Pray that your kids will grow up in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and with men. Pray that every day. Add that to your prayer life. Are you with me? But the point I want to make here is that Jesus was obedient to his earthly parents. Remember, he's God. Now, yes, he didn't begin his ministry until he was 30, until the Holy Spirit came upon him. But the Bible tells us here that, you know what? He was obedient to his parents. Remember, the Bible tells us that he was sinless. He was a perfect child. Parents, can you imagine what that looks like? A perfect kid. You tell them to go clean their room, they go do it. You tell them to eat all their dinner and all the vegetables, they do it. No complaint, nothing. That was who Jesus was. Amen? Amen? Sorry, there was only one of him. Okay? You can pray for a perfect child, you ain't going to get it. I can tell you that right now. Because they're going to come from you. This one came from above. He wasn't conceived by a human being. Are you listening to me? Okay? So I'm going to pray that I have a perfect child. It's not going to happen. If it's a seed of man, they will be born with that DNA to sin and the propensity to sin. It's not going to happen. Amen? But Jesus was obedient. Not only when he was a kid, but also when he grew up. Look in John 15. You see, obedience is a lifestyle. That's the point I'm making here. John 15, in verse 16. Uh-oh. Did I say John 15? Oh, I'm sorry. Verse 9, I'm sorry. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Amen? You see what Jesus says there? He says, if you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. In other words, he's not asking us to do something he hasn't done himself. Do you notice that in the scriptures, that God never asks you to do something that he hasn't done already? Jesus obeyed God even as an adult. He says, you know what? I have obeyed my Father. If anything, he came into this world to carry out his Father's instructions. Amen? Jesus is our example. Not our earthly fathers. Not our earthly mothers. God is our example. Amen? And again, I bring that up because even sometimes as human beings, we try and use, quote unquote, our earthly parents as excuses for why you and I are not following the Bible. Well, my father never did this. My mother never did this. You know, my parents never did this. And so, I'm all messed up. I'm all jacked up. Look at Josiah that we talked about this morning. His father and grandfather were messed up. But he decided, you know what? I am going to fully obey God. That is a decision you have to make for yourself. Are you listening to me? Again, like I said, our fathers and our parents are not perfect. They never were. They were never designed to be that way. But you can't use them as an excuse. If anything, when I was growing up, there were things that I saw in my dad, and I said, you know what, when I grow up, I'm not going to be like that. I am not going to be like that. Because again, I knew from scriptures told me different. Are you with me? Now, he was a great dad in so many other ways, but there were things in him that I was like, I ain't doing that. And I shared this before many years ago, to the point where much later in life, after I came to America to go to school, I was so mad with him one time, I was going to change my last name. I called my mother up. I said, you know what? I'm changing my last name. He said, what are you going to call yourself? I said, Johnson. That's simple and, you know, people can pronounce it. I'm going to become Richard Johnson. And my mother said to me, forgive him. let it go. And I forgave him. This is way before I became a Christian. And it's amazing, you know, later on in life, obviously, when I was back home, I was able to convert my father. And I'll never forget, he called me up. You know, he had started out sin and repentance, started out, he thought that he was lost. He needed to get his life right. And, you know, he's sitting down and he looked at me. And he asked for my forgiveness. Say, I just want to ask you to forgive me for all the things that I did not do for you as a father. And he was baptized a few days later. He died 4 years as a Christian. He was converted at 70, died at 74. So I share that to say, you know what? We can all be obedient to God. We can use whatever hand we've been dealt in this life as a means of drawing closer to God and following the scriptures. Amen? That's all I'm talking about here. Look in Matthew chapter 19. Again, another passage we're very familiar with. Obedience is what we're talking about. In Matthew chapter 19, you know the story, the rich young man, this guy comes up to Jesus. Says, teacher, Matthew 19 beginning verse 16, what good thing must I do to get eternal life? Why do you ask me about what is good? Jesus replied, there is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, he said, obey the commandments. He didn't say know the commandments. He didn't say believe in the commandments. He says obey the commandments. Now, obviously, at this time when this was spoken, they were still under the Old Testament law. Are you listening to me? The Bible tells us that when Jesus died on the cross, all the Old Testament laws, he nailed it to the tree. That we are no longer under the old covenant. We now have a new covenant. Are you with me? You guys are looking at me as if I'm speaking Latin. Okay, I know I'm giving you a Reader's Digest version. All right? But it's all about obeying the commandments. The reason you live your life according to the Bible is not because you're trying to earn your way to heaven. It's because you are a Christian. That God has given us rules and laws to live by. He said, I don't like laws. I don't like rules. That's why your life is in a mess. And your life will continue to be a mess. Because even in America, in this county, we got rules. We got laws. Okay, out here on the road, right here on, what do you call this road? Steve Reynolds Boulevard. I believe the speed limit is 45 miles an hour. Okay? I'm not going to follow that. I'm going to do 100 miles an hour on this road. Well, chances are two things are going to happen. There's a fire station right next door. Even if the guy is standing out there without a radar gun, and he sees you going by that quickly, I promise you, he's going to come follow you. You're going to get in trouble. Why? Because if you do 100 miles an hour on this road, you're going to kill somebody. And if you kill somebody like that, guess what? They're going to lock you up. They will lock you up. You will go to jail and spend some time in jail. They'll give you a suit to put on with a number on it. Those laws are there to protect everybody. So you can't say, you know, I'm just going to do as I please. You will get in trouble. If everybody's just allowed to do whatever it is they want, this world will be a mess. God understands that. And he's saying, guys, do it this way. Go at this speed limit. Make the right turn over here. Don't wait till when you get down the road. Do it now. He knows what he's talking about. This word is a guide for us in this life. Amen, church? In Proverbs 19, verse 16, you can write this down. Proverbs 19, 16. It says, he who obeys instructions guards his life. He who obeys instructions guards his life. I believe he's talking about God's word. Amen? Hebrews 11, verse 8. Let's look at some other example of men that obeyed God. Hebrews 11, verse 8. By faith. When called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance. Talking about Abraham. Obeyed and went. Even though he did not know where he was going. Oh, I love that passage. You know the story from Genesis 12? Abraham is minding his business. At that time, it was still Abram, as a matter of fact. It wasn't Abraham yet. And God says, I want you to go to this country. The Bible says, he obeyed and went. Although he did not know where he was going. How cool is that? Why? Because it was God who said to go. Amen? Abraham obeyed and went. Again, you know the story of Abraham's life? You know, he had this kid when he was 100 years old, called Isaac. And then in Genesis 22, it's amazing. I've read this passage so many times, I finally saw something the other day. So go ahead and turn there. Genesis 22. When God tested Abraham and told him to go, sacrifice his son in Genesis 22. Here's a guy who'd been waiting to have a kid. He finally gets one at 100 years old. A short time later, God says, you know what, I want to take that boy and I want you to go kill him. That's incredible. And Abraham goes and he's going to do it. But this is the part I want us to look at. Because I've always focused on verse 14, which is actually the theme of the conference coming up in a few weeks. So Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide. And to this day it is said, on the mountain of the Lord it will be provided. Verse 15. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven the second time and said, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies. And through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed. And this is the part I want you to read, to look at. Because you have obeyed me. I never saw that. All these years I've been reading that verse, that passage. Because you have obeyed me. Incredible. God says, you know what? Your descendants will be like the stars in the sky. And as numerous as the sand on the seashore. Why? Because of his obedience. Amen, church? Amen. That is what unleashes the power of God to bless us. The question is, are we going to obey God, especially during times of testing? Just like God tested Abraham over here. Are we still obeying? It's easy to obey God when everything is easy. It's easy to obey God when you've got a job, when the family is doing well. It's tough to obey the scriptures. When you get bad news about your health. When you get bad news about your job. Do you still continue to be a disciple? Do you still continue to live your life according to the scriptures? That's when the test is. Are you with me? But you see, even when we continue to obey during those times, God will continue to bless you. That is not the time to stop, you know, just doing your own thing. That's what Satan wants you to do. Don't make things go from bad to worse. So yeah, you're having a hard time. Hang in there. Continue to obey the scriptures. So that God will bless your life. Satan wants you to stop. Are you listening to me? We can't do that. We got to push through. You know, in Acts chapter 7, I need to wrap this up. Wow. Acts chapter 7, you know the story. Stephen is preaching, one of the first deacons, and he's laying out the religious leaders. In verse 41, up to this point, you know, he's been preaching. He just says, enough's enough. I'm bringing it home. He says, you stiff-necked people, with uncircumcised hearts and ears, you are just like your fathers. You always resist the Holy Spirit. Was there ever a prophet your father did not persecute? They even killed those who predicted the coming of the righteous one. And now you have betrayed and murdered him. You who have received the law that was put into effect through angels, but have not obeyed it. You see what he said?
What is he talking about here? He says, you who have received the law that has been put into effect through the angels, but have not obeyed it. That was their problem. They didn't obey. They were not obeying the scriptures. And he calls them stiff-necked. He says, you know what? You always resist the Holy Spirit. Isn't that amazing? What is this passage saying? When you and I are not obeying God, you are resisting the Holy Spirit. Because this is the Holy Spirit. This is God's Spirit speaking to us. When you and I are not obeying this thing, you are resisting the Holy Spirit. That's the context. I don't know about you. I do not want to resist the Holy Spirit. That doesn't sound good. It's simply you and I deciding, I am not going to disobey the scriptures. If the Bible says it, I am going to do it. Amen? Amen. Now, I need the... Where's the flicker? Oh, okay. Here we go. I mean, think about this. There's so many scriptures that talk about marriage. Are you and I obeying them? When God says, husbands, love your wives like Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Is that the standard you and I are living by? I don't know about you, that's very challenging. But it's amazing, when we obey those verses, there are blessings there. When the Bible tells you, my sisters, to submit to your husbands, it doesn't mean that he knows everything. He doesn't. He may act like it. He doesn't. But it says to submit to him because God has made him the head of the household. Right. It doesn't mean he's always going to get it right. Are you with me? How about parenting? All the verses that talk about parenting. Where it talks about how the way you and I need to raise our kids. Right. Are we going to raise our kids based on what the Bible says or based on what the world says? Are you with me? I'm not just talking about the discipline verses. Because we very quickly go there. Right. To me, discipline is easy. Yeah. But I'm talking about where it talks about, for instance, in Ephesians 6, fathers, do not exasperate your children. But bring them up in the admonition and training of the Lord. Exasperate. Could you give me the root word? Is that Latin or? Could you use that in a sentence? Are there any other definitions? Spell exasperate. That's what this guy's doing in the spelling bee. It means to irritate extremely and to provoke. But we have very, very, very clear instructions. Now, we're not always going to get it right. But the point is, when we mess up, we're very quick to apologize. Amen? Amen? How about holiness and purity? The Bible says without holiness, no one is going to see the Lord. The Bible has very clear instructions about holiness and about purity. The world says something different. You know, God, it was God who brought up the idea of marriage in the first place. You know what? If you're not married to somebody, you got no business sleeping with them. Absolutely none. You say, Richard, that's old fashioned. Let me tell you something. That's what the Bible says. Amen. That was what my parents taught me growing up. My mother looked at me and said, if you go get a girl pregnant, I will kill you. And let me tell you something. Yeah, I knew she wasn't going to kill me physically. My daughters understand that. If they go get pregnant before they get married, I will kill them. They know it. Why? Because God says not to have sex until you're married. You see, it's amazing to me. If we follow God's laws, then there's no problem about unwanted pregnancies. There will be no sexually transmitted diseases and all this nonsense that's out there. And this world is saying, oh, you're a virgin. Ooh. It's amazing how the world has turned this whole thing upside down. And you and I, as Christians, we got to stand firm. Amen. And not apologize for what the Bible teaches. Because all this stuff, the way we're living and the way we're learning, we got to pass it down to these kids. So that they in turn can pass it on. After you and I are gone. Are you listening to me? Money and finances. God has a lot to say about it. Are we living according to them? I mentioned this on Thursday. Are we giving God's first fruits? If you haven't given your missions contribution yet, it's not too late. We did not forget. Why? Because there are people that always will need help. It's good to give. It's good to sacrifice. How about the treatment of others? The Bible says we need to consider others better than us. To do everything without complaining or grumbling. Meditate on that one for a week. Try that for 1 week. You know what? I am not going to complain and I'm not going to grumble. And see what God does with your life. Helping the poor. Thank you. Attitude towards work. Those of you that are on campus, your work is college. You need to take it very seriously and do well. I'm talking A's and B's. I'm sorry, C's are not good enough for me. There's nothing wrong with your brain. If you put in the work, you will get out of it what you put into it. How about evangelism? We're going to talk about this next week. When I go to the next. You know, tactic that Satan uses, it gets us distracted. We get so wrapped up in what we're doing, we forget there's a lost world out there. We forget that the trumpet can sound in the next 2 hours and it's over. Discipleship. Helping each other on this journey so that we all make it to heaven one day. How about our attitude towards authority? All these scriptures and many more areas, they're in the scriptures for a reason. God wants us to get into this stuff. Amen? Amen? That's what we're talking about. It's not just about knowing the verses. It's not just about hearing them. It's about doing them. And so all we can do is decide that we're going to obey the scriptures. And I promise you, God promises you, more importantly, that you watch what I will do. Because I believe that when we're obeying the scriptures, God is very happy. Satan is unhappy though. And so like I talked about on Thursday night, you decide every single day you're going to give the devil a bad day by obeying God, by obeying the scriptures, by living your life according to what this teaches. God is faithful to those who obey him. Brothers and sisters, obedience is a long-term commitment. There's a song we haven't sung in a while, but I just want to read the words. It says, when we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we have goodwill, he abides with us still and with all who trust and obey, for there is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Happy Father's Day.
Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for being our Father and being perfect like we talked about earlier. Just choosing us out of the world, how special that is, and let us think about that every single day. God, I thank you for our earthly fathers that you've given us who have led us in some way to where we are and to how we found you. And God, I pray that they would be encouraged today, that they would feel appreciated as well for all that they do for us. God, I pray that we would obey your word, just like Richard talked about today, that we can receive those promises that you've given to us, that we would receive them openly by obeying your word every single day with all our hearts, God. God, I pray that you would equip us with everything that we need to fight the war against Satan that he is waging on all of us right now, God. I pray that you would just be there with us and you would lead us and that you would guide us. In Jesus' name, amen.